Today, I ask you to join me in Matthew's gospel as we look at the telling prior to the crucifixion of Jesus. Pilate is speaking. I've entitled today's message, "They Will Never Crucify Him Again." We're going to look at two crowns that Jesus wears and the significance of them. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 27, beginning in verse 26, the Bible says, "Then he released Barabbas," speaking of Pilate's actions, "then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put on his head and a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified." Twisted and sharp, a diadem of pain, woven from the desert's cruel refrain, each thorn a dagger, each barb a plea, pressed into flesh where mercy used to be. It bites deeper than the whip or nail, reminding heaven how the humble fail. Yet in its cruel clasp, a silent throne, the King of Glory claims it as his own. Yes, the first crown we look at today is a crown of pain. It screams out sacrifice. It is a vicarious sacrifice for us. Jesus, it is a real sacrifice. Jesus is wearing this twisted crown of thorns pressed in his head. He's being led to be crucified, not for his sins. His sacrifice is not for himself, but for you and me. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the price is death. He's the perfect one. He's dying in our place. He's feeling the pain that we should feel. From head to toe, from crown to nail, Jesus is feeling the pain. It is a vicarious sacrifice of atonement. There's complementary views that work together to help us understand the richness of God's act of forgiveness, his atonement to wash away our sins, to cleanse us as if we had never sinned. Atonement. It's glorious and multifaceted, but here on Friday, we see the fundamental truth of atonement, of forgiveness. It's in the crucifixion. Here we see the substitutionary element of atonement. Christ is not dying for himself. He lived a perfect life. Though he was tempted like you and tempted like me, he was tempted to get angry. He was tempted to be tired and spout off hatred. He was tempted to lust. He was tempted to doubt, just like you are and just like I am. Yet he never did. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He never disobeyed the Father. Though tempted, he never gave into it. He never acted on it. He kept trusting and following And so Jesus is not dying for his sins. And even more than dying for our sins, he is dying instead for us. We should be on the cross. It's our sins being paid for. We should be weeping. We should be nailed. Friend, it wasn't Jew and Roman that put Jesus on the cross. Jesus said, "No man lays me on this cross. I willingly lay down myself to be a sacrifice, a substitute instead of you, Greg." The truth is, it's my sin and your sin that put Jesus on the cross. That's why he came as our substitute. Does it move you? I was touched watching the interview of Savannah Guthrie by her dear friend Hoda. And there's a moment in that interview, I don't know if you saw it. I could not show it today, not even as a clip. We don't have enough Kleenex in Brookhaven for all of you if I showed that clip. But I watched it again. And there's a moment where Savannah Guthrie begins to apologize to her family. She had talked to her brother who had to break the news. Savannah's mother's been taken, and it appears she's not missing. She has been kidnapped. And yes, honey, it's probably because you're a famous person and because of your fame and all America knows you and all America sees you almost every day of the week and they know you're wealthy because of that and they've taken mama. And that has begun to weigh on her. Savannah Guthrie is not responsible in one way for any harm in this, and you know it and I know it, and deep in her heart she knows it. It's only the responsible of those cruel criminals that would take and kidnap an elderly lady in her pajamas in the middle of the night and walk her barefoot through a desert. Cruel, evil. It's not that daughter's fault, and yet she felt responsible. And she begins to weep. It says, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to my brother and his wife, and I'm so sorry to my family, and mommy, mommy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And I watched that, and I wanted to say to that lady who I do not know, "Honey, it's not your fault." And it overwhelmed me with the sense of this weekend. And I just had to admit, when I think about what Jesus went through, the pain, it is my fault. It is my fault. Unlike Savannah and her mom, it is my fault that Jesus is on the cross. And I just, in my office, said, "Oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry again. I know I'm forgiven. I know Sunday's coming," as we've sung so boldly and beautifully today. And yet I was struck again by my selfishness and why Jesus had to walk the Via Dolorosa and why he willingly lay down on the cross. He was there instead of me, not just for me. But it's also glorious to think about that Jesus not only was a substitute, but that his atonement on the cross was sufficient. It was sufficient. I have nothing to offer. It is sufficient when Jesus said before he gave up his last, when he said, "It is finished," meaning the debt is paid in full, my friend, that's exactly what Jesus meant. There is no good work that you and I will ever do, if we could even call it good, that will even pay for one of our sins. You and I do not help Jesus out by simply coming to church. Friend, it's a privilege as a Christian to be a part of the body of Christ. It's a privilege. When you receive Jesus Christ, dear Christian, it is a free gift that has been offered according to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By your faith in what Christ has done for you, in his finished work of atonement at the cross, my friend, you see the gift of atonement and forgiveness and eternal life, and now you are free, free, free. Live it. You're free from hate. You're free from lust. You're free to live. You're with Jesus. There is nothing. You don't have to go to a pope. You don't have to go to a preacher. You don't have to pray to Mary. You don't have to go to every Sunday school class that's ever been invented. My friend, you are free to study God's word. You're free to share your testimony. You're free to love your family. You're free to love your husband as Christ loves you. Husband, you're free to love your wife as Christ loves you. Kids, you're free to honor your father and mother as you've been blessed with loving fathers and mothers. My friend, in salvation, you've been set free, but you cannot earn one second in heaven. It is finished, and the atoning work of Christ is sufficient. Receive it and live it. It's his gift to you. For Christ also suffered once. He wears the crown of thorns once, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but notice this, but made alive by the Holy Spirit. Now the second crown, the next crown. In fact, it's more than one, it turns out, it's crowns. So glorious is this crown that one crown will not do it. So glorious is this truth, it has crowned him with many crowns. It's not the crown of pain, it's the crown of preeminence. In Revelation 19, John sees the second coming of Christ and his exaltation, where all things will soon be made right. And now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with an iron rod. And a rod of iron, he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The next time he comes, it won't be a crown of thorns. And it'll take more than one to communicate his victorious sovereignty. His victorious sovereignty. Here we also see a picture of atonement. That is what the work of Christ did on Friday is seen in its fulfillment on Sunday through the resurrection. If it weren't for the resurrection, we would be without hope. He died, but then he defeats death, hell, and the grave. And we see it on Sunday through his resurrection. God raised him from the dead and then exalts him. This too is a part of our atonement. It's the result of Christ's work on Friday. He defeats evil. Evil has been defeated. Satan roars, but he's like a toothless lion. Christ has won. And we are seeing now, not only in Christ has the penalty of sin been paid, but now on Sunday, we see that the power of sin has been broken and defeated. And you and I come and we see Christ making a spectacle of the devil, a spectacle of the evil. Satan thought he was going to make a public spectacle of Christ and humble him and make him irrelevant through the crucifixion. But what he didn't know, on the third day, God was going to turn the tables and publicly embarrass all evil authority. Colossians 2, 14 and 15, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, all the things that condemned your sin, all the laws that you could never meet, all the perfect standards that you and I could never earn on our own, Christ did and nailed it to the cross and said, I am now your righteousness. What you could not earn back on your own, I give to you as a gift. I did it. I nailed it to the cross. But look at this part. Then he says, having disarmed principalities and powers, speaking of the devil as demons and evil, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, his death, burial, and resurrection. Christ is victor. You sang it. It's part of the atonement. It is your gift. Some years ago, I sat in a, of all places, an auditorium, a flat concrete floor. And there were a few folding chairs and probably another 300 lawn chairs packed into this big room next to a fish house of all things. And there must have been 700-800 people in there. And we had come to hear a group called the Greens. Some of those people have already passed on. Some of you may know the name Taranda Green. And I sat there, and they heard a song. They began to sing a song I'd never heard, but I've never forgotten it. The lyrics went something like this. They took our hope to a courtyard and stripped him of his robes. They gambled for his garments with his head bowed low. They scorned him and mocked him and said, why don't you save yourself? If you're really who you say you are, this will be no contest. And while struggling to carry that man-made torture's rack, they shouted, crucify him, with the whole world's sin upon his back. With a crown of thorns upon his head, and above him was his name. A soldier spat in his precious face and said, Jesus, now where's your fame? But someday they will bow before him and worship my King. They'll not drive nails in his hands or his feet. They'll proclaim that in the highest he is Lord of everything. They shall never crucify him again. From the north, the south, the east and west, all nations will gather in, for God will trade his blood-stained, rugged cross for a royal diadem, and someday they will bow before him and worship this King. They'll not drive nails in his hands or his feet. They'll proclaim that in the highest, he's the Lord of everything. They will never crucify him again. The first time he came as a lamb to be slain, but the next time he comes, he will come as Lord to reign. Our Lord will be crowned with many crowns. He will reveal his full glory, having returned to his rightful place in heaven, he will be worshiped and he will make all things right. Evil will not spend one moment in heaven. The unrighteous will not spend one morning in heaven. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, do not harden your heart. While you are in these days of grace where you can place your faith in Christ, where when you feel the conviction of God's righteousness on your sin and you realize I'm broken and I can't pretend anymore and I need help, you can cry out to God, and the Bible says, whoever repents and turns from their old life and their old way of thinking and places their faith in Christ and calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You trust him and follow him. You've got a new life. Jesus changes everything. And today you can be saved if you've never given your life to Christ. That's why Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. This weekend, we were all concerned. Friday, we heard it was Good Friday. We were all preparing. We were at Easter egg hunts, and we were at the cross, and we were being reminded of the great sacrifice of Christ on this day 2,000 years ago. And we heard the troubling news, unexpected news, that one of our fighter jets in the war in Iran, while in the territory of Iran, had been shot down. It turns out the pilot was immediately found, not shortly after that, by our U.S. forces. And then, before we could even say thank you, it injured but hopeful, we found out there was another officer in that plane, a weapons specialist. And none of us knew where he was. It was being reported that we don't know what's happened to him. Maybe the enemy has found him. Surely they were searching for him. Maybe he died. We don't know. Or maybe he can be found. Here is a man all alone behind enemy territory, defenseless, without hope. All he has is a beacon, a signal sender, and a pistol, and an entire enemy army coming down upon him in those mountains. All he can do is hope that a signal that he presses gets to his friends in the military. Pressing a button, in essence saying, here I am. I need to be rescued. I am helpless behind enemy lines. That's where you and I have been without Christ. And some of you may still be there. You and I are helpless to save ourselves. All we can do is hope we can send up a prayer to heaven and say, oh God, forgive me. Save me. I need to be rescued. I can't save myself, and I'm behind enemy lines. Will you come to me because I can't come to you? That's the cry of every sinner who needs to be saved. I made that cry to God when I was 12 years old in my bedside. I spoke to a lady today. She was sharing, this week, she was sharing her testimony. She was 8 years old when she made that cry to the Savior, God save me. I'm placing my faith. I can't save myself. I'm putting all of my trust and faith in you. Will you come rescue me? Do you need to be rescued? I happened to run into Senator Hyde Smith yesterday at the Walmart. She was trying to catch up. God love her. She hadn't even got her flowers for her house at Easter. She was trying to catch up at the last minute. She had just flown in. trying to do all, and all I wanted to do is just say, thank you, thank you, thank you for being willing to go what you've had to go through to be a Christian lady and to be there and represent Mississippi, United States, around the world. Thank you. That's all I wanted to try to say. Now, I did say a few things to try to encourage her along the way. And she said, this is the last thing she told me. She said, Greg, she said, Brother Greg, pray for that lost pilot. I said, Senator, tomorrow on Easter Sunday, we're going to be praying for that lost pilot. She said, they promised me when, if they find him, they'll let me know immediately. I've asked to be let know immediately. I can't get him off my mind. I said, Senator, we join you in that prayer. In the middle of the night, anticipating this glorious day, I couldn't sleep. And I did what I've told so many people not to do. I picked up the phone. And Mark, I started looking at it, son. And I tapped on my favorite news app. And there in living color, he has been rescued. Though injured, he is safe and sound. We have him with us. Jesus came from heaven to bring you back to God, to rescue you. That's why he went to the cross, and that's why he defeated all of evil when God raised him from the dead, so that you, your sins, died on the cross with Christ. Your sins were buried with Christ in the grave. But praise God, you have the promise to be raised with him to walk in newness of life forever and ever and ever. He came the first time and wore the crown, but there are more crowns to come. They will never crucify him, our King, again. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we come before you this day. We ask you, Lord, that you'd move in our hearts. We would rededicate as followers of Christ, being mindful of all that you've done for us and the glorious gift we've received in Christ, that we too would live it to the fullest for your glory, your honor. We would live for you. We would love for you. We would care for you. We would share for you. We would witness for you. For you deserve all the crowns. If there's someone here who's, they're hurting, they're lost, they're trying, they think if I could just get in the right, if I could do this or maybe start this habit or do this. Friend, without Christ, you're powerless. I was powerless. Why don't you just humble yourself in the mighty hand of God? Let him do it through you. Let him save you, forgive you, give you life, the life you're trying to live and can't. He can give it to you in a moment. But you got to trust him. All in. Turn from the old life and say, Jesus, forgive me. I trust you. You are now Lord and King of my life. I will follow you. How about today? How about today? Our church doors are open for those of like faith and baptism coming. If you need to be baptized, we would rejoice in helping you follow the Lord's command in that. Or maybe today you just need to say, thank you, God, for rescuing me. Thank you for the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand? Let's sing together.